Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Taking Stock. Today, I am super excited to welcome Adoya Hidalgo and Musa Jose, two leads in our sales and marketing practice here at Clarkston. And we're going to talk about consumer centricity and personalization. So consumer centricity has always been foundational within our industry. And more we're seeing companies thinking about how do we personalize our messaging and engage with consumers in a one-on-one fashion. And in doing so, companies need to think about how do we maintain and bring a brand authenticity and transparency in times of political and economic change, how we're creating community that nurtures your brand and allows for consumer feedback and engagement. And then also, if you think about the fact that consumers are spending less time in stores, how do we ensure that all online and offline experiences are integrated through technology to increase that engagement? So a ton of fun topics we're going to hit upon with Adoya and Musa. Enjoy the discussion, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Adoya, Musa, welcome to Taking Stock. How you guys doing?
Thanks, Steve.
Doing well. Thanks,
great. Man.
Adoya, this is your you are a multiple time guest on Taking Stock, so welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
And Musa, I know you've memorized every single Taking Stock podcast that we've ever done in preparation for this, right?
Take a bit from each person.
Yeah, you've been studying. You didn't even watch the Super Bowl last yet. It was just all about getting prepared for this discussion, right?
Exactly. I was multitasking, but it's
yeah. There you go. So really excited to chat with you both around a topic that I've learned a lot from both of you around. And so as you both know, I've been in and around consumer products for about 25 years now. And one of the things that has never changed is that for consumer products companies to be effective and really optimize their competitive advantage in the market, they need to put the consumer at the center of everything that they do, right? And that is what, in my opinion, separates the great companies from the good ones, is the companies that really kind of embed the consumer at the center of their organization. And that idea isn't new, right? Consumer centricity isn't new, but obviously it's more important than ever. If you think about everything that's happened over the past year, I've said for a while that I think consumers, they want what they want it when they want it and where they want it. And for companies to be able to serve that need starts in many ways with the true understanding of the consumer. But it's not just about understanding the consumer, right? It's understanding what the consumer values. And to that end, I'll start with a really, really high level question. And Adoya, maybe if you want to take a pass at it, what does today's consumer value as much as anything? What's important to today's consumer?
Very important question, and indeed a very broad one. I think, to your point, consumer centricity isn't new. I think what is new are consumers' expectations. Compared to 15 years ago, companies have a means to actually build a relationship with the consumer, and that is new. It used to be much more one way. Companies had to guess a little bit who their consumer was and what they wanted. And today, in today's world, companies can actually know who their consumer is, what motivates them, and build that relationship. And as in any important relationship, trust and authenticity are key components to that. Consumers need to really feel that they understand and can trust the brand and that they are authentic. And I think building off of that, many brands are becoming much more purpose-driven and value-driven, and that's something that consumers want as a part of that relationship. They want to understand what the brands stand for, what drives them, what is their position in the world. And I think that's a key difference compared to when companies weren't able to build that relationship, is it really is a relationship, and the expectations have changed that consumers can have that relationship and want to bring that forward.
Yeah. Go ahead, Musa.
I'd agree with that. And I think another thing that's becoming more and more important for consumers and customers is the ability to resonate with the brand. And to Adoya's point, understand what they stand for and start to build a community. I see a lot of the great brands that have a large following have a lot of supporters who support their mission, their values, what they stand for. So if there's any way that you can bring the community together, I think it's not only beneficial to the customer, but also to the brand, right? Because then you get authenticity in your promotions. You get the customers becoming those that are advocating for you, the ones that are advertising for you. So I think it's mutually beneficial. And I think that's another thing that consumers are really looking for, not even understanding how much they're also benefiting the brand that they're supporting.
Yeah, I totally agree with both of your points. And we did this, you know, it's kind of fun that we're having this conversation the day after the Super Bowl, because we did a study about 7 or 8 years ago around Super Bowl advertising. And if you saw, you mentioned 15 years ago. So Adoya, let's look back 15 years ago. Super Bowl advertising, through our study, it was clear that the commercials during the Super Bowl were about the specific products that these companies were trying to sell. And if you look at the Super Bowl advertising last night, it was less about the product that they were trying to sell. It was more about what is their brand and their company represent. And I think that is exactly building upon what you both are alluding to, that it is about connecting with the consumer around not necessarily their likes or dislikes around a particular product, but more about what's important to them. What do they value? What is their unique value proposition? And how does my brand connect with them? Because in my opinion, that's when loyalty becomes sticky. I don't think consumers are loyal to brands and or products. They're loyal to what a brand represents. And that if you could really unlock that, I think that's where you're going to create that stickiness with your consumers.
Yeah, I fully agree. It's really much more that emotional connection and much less about what a product might stand for functionally, where in the past that may have been very important. And in some categories, you know, companies do still want to communicate about that. But ultimately, to build that relationship with a consumer, it really is about that emotional connection and communicating what you stand for as a company and not just about the products that you have.
Yeah, so let's agree then, right, that consumer centricity is critical, right? And I think that goes without saying, that's somewhat table stakes. Now let's think through the how. How do you do it, right? What are things that, you know, if you think about this idea of kind of like personalizing your marketing and embedding consumer centricity at the heart of your strategy, this is not an easy leap for a lot of companies to take. So what are some tactical things that companies should be thinking about to be great at this?
Yeah, I think one of the obvious ones is understand who your consumer is. That's the very first step. And then from there, you have to understand what your brand represents, what it's all about, and then try to meet in the middle and understand if this is your consumer, what do they value and what lifestyle, what kind of emotional connection do we want to invoke in them, and start to meet in the middle. Because a lot of consumers and customers, they're looking for, they're not necessarily looking for the product itself. They're trying to find out, how can it support them? Does it fit their lifestyle? Is there a specific type of lifestyle that they want to live? And does this product help and play into that? So I think it's understanding the entire landscape of it, not just who your consumer is, but how does this fit into their lifestyle? And does this really get the message of what our brand is about? I think that's an important one. And then also start to drive in on the benefits. So how does this benefit my customer? Does this help them live the lifestyle that we're actually speaking of? And do we have evidence to show it? Do we have reviews saying that this is helping me do so and so? Or is it negatively, or is their product actually giving a negative experience and being able to adjust on the fly? In the era of where we have all of this, all of the reviews, everything is review driven. You have all the information there. There's a lot of data out there to make sure that you're reaching your customer at the right place, the right time, and it's actually being used. Your products are being used in the right way. I think one of the final pieces is education. For a lot of these brands, it's important that they educate the customers on whatever your product is or your services are. Make sure that you're well educated in that area. You want to come off as brand leaders and subject matter experts. And I think this is a growing piece, whether it's putting out articles, blogs, or just informational sessions to show that you're very well versed in this area, and therefore my products or our products will compete or outcompete the rest of the competitors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So I think, thank you, Musa. And so building upon that, Adoya, some of the work that you've done with CP companies, around kind of making it actionable. What are some additional kind of tactical things that you would provide?
Yeah, building off of what Musa said, I think one of the key things is really understanding that consumer and what are those pain points. As Musa was mentioning, really understanding how a product in your brand can make the consumer's life better. And so really looking at that journey, what is that consumer journey with your brand and your product, but beyond that, to look at what motivates them, what are they struggling with, what does that entire journey look like, to then be able to understand the role that your brand and product plays within that journey that is much broader than that. So where in the past, it would have been a lot very brand and product centric. Now companies need to switch and putting that consumer at the heart of it and really looking at that full perspective. And that's one of the things that is really important to understanding that consumer is looking at it through their lens and their journey and building off of that. So there's many tools in terms of data to be able to actually have that conversation, look at the data of the consumer. And I think one of the big switches for a lot of companies that aren't digitally native or direct to consumer is the change of, you know, knowing who you think your consumer is to who your consumer actually is, and looking at data to see who actually buys your product and what are their actual pain points. And that's a key shift that you see a lot of companies are going through, not looking at just that ideal target consumer, but using data to define who your consumer is in real life and how you can make that life better.
Yeah, I love that topic, Adoya. You know, we work with, you know, often companies have this perception of what their brand represents out to the market and who their target consumer is. But if you really peel the onion, that's not really who is purchasing and consuming my products. Does that always impact then how you market? Or do you still want to market towards that aspirational consumer? Or how does that impact your marketing strategy?
I think, you know, that really touches upon the topic of today. It doesn't necessarily have to maybe change your brand strategy in terms of mass marketing, but it definitely does impact your personalization, because you cannot start doing hyper-personalized marketing if you don't know your consumer. And so, and in some cases, you know, you could have almost that dual strategy of the ideal consumer. And some people also resonate with that aspirational person, but you need to know that there is that link to be able to do that, and not that you're talking to completely different consumer segments that, you know, there's no bridge between them.
Yeah, and because that's what I always struggle with, because so when I think personalization, you know, I think of, you know, shopping for the example that's always referenced, and I think even Malcolm Gladwell references it in the book Blank, is shopping for orange juice. And you think about, you know, that category, and you think about that is a category that is just so incredibly personalized. I want an orange juice that is going to be, you know, low in calcium, high in pulp, and high in vitamins. Let's find that, you know, perfect mix. And it becomes incredibly overwhelming, right? And it also could weigh down on an organization just purely from a SKU proliferation standpoint. But when you kind of think about, like, what is the right mix of personalization? What is the right, let's look at consumer segments as an example. What is the right number of segments? Where is too much personalization going to weigh down on your organization versus, you know, okay, obviously not all consumers are the same, but how do you kind of balance what that right mix might be?
Yeah, I think it's, I think every company is different, but I think the approach that should be taken is start first with what your brand represents, right? Start off with a broader net, understand what you can start to gather data on what your consumer is interested in, and be able to grow these segment sizes. It may very well be that you have one or two segments, or maybe you have five or six, but you will know until you start spreading the messages and getting your messages out there and see kind of who bites. And then as your data grows, you're able to further segment and personalize your targets, right? So there may be, for example, using your the orange juice example, there may be just two segments, those who like pulp and those who don't like pulp, right? And if that's as far as it goes, then maybe that's as far as your personalization goes. And you try to really hyper-target and understand what composes these audiences. What makes them different? What is there a lifestyle change? Is there an age difference? And really try to focus in on that. But once you start to get more data, you'll understand that it's not just about pulp or not having pulp. It's how are your ingredients sourced? Is that a major thing? Is there a price gap that you need to consider as well. So I think data is really the main driver here, and that'll indicate whether or not you need multiple segments that you need to really focus in on, or maybe it's just one or two people or one or two audience groups that you really need to focus your targeting and marketing against.
And building off of what Musa said, I think, you know, one of the key things is to really test and learn there. So what Musa started off is, one, understanding even who your consumer segments are. And then as you start building, you can start testing what are the activations against those consumer segments that work and what really resonates with that, with them, and what actually has an impact. And so I think that is really critical, is not about, you know, how many consumer segments are there, but looking at, one, who are they, and start testing and learning to see what actually has an effect. And the amount of different types will really differ per brand and per category. But it's really important to see if it even has an effect, because if not, there you can go down the danger of, you know, personalizing just for the fact and for the idea of personalization without even knowing if it's impactful for your brand and for the consumer.
Yeah, you mentioned Adoya earlier. I think you said something about digitally native, right? And companies that were born digital. One of the trends that I love that we've seen over the past 5 or 10 years is how small size businesses, digitally native businesses, are really challenging the status quo. And I think they have set a new expectation for a consumer experience that, to be frank, larger companies with their scale are having a hard time replicating. You think through, you know, a lot of these companies were born, you know, the founders were selling products out of the trunk of their cars, going to trade shows, going to field events, and they're able to kind of touch and feel and communicate with the consumer in ways that is so much harder to do as a large organization. So you're seeing companies trying to replicate that. Part of that, in my opinion, is creating a sense of community. Consumers crave community. So within these segments, what are some things that you see companies doing to create, whether it's online, leveraging social media, leveraging different avenues out there? What are some things that you think companies should be doing to create that sense of community and connected experience, for the consumers?
Yeah, and I like that you bring that up, Steve. I think one of the key differences between the larger companies and some of those digitally native brands is that the digitally native brands often started from the consumers. The founders are often people that are frustrated with something and really find a solution for some of the things that is a real pain point for them.
Yeah.
And many larger CPGs started with very similar propositions, but, you know, 100, 150 years ago for some companies. So they may have lost a little bit of that touch. What you do see is that companies are starting to talk to their consumers more and really build that relationship, as you mentioned, from a community perspective, but also test in smaller scales. So what some CPG companies are doing are maybe testing products that aren't branded by their big company and really putting them out in the market to really feel what that, you know, how do consumers react to it? What is actually being said, so that they have a little bit more of that smaller feel and that smaller that community connection to their consumers. And I do think that that's a shift, is that what's important is that while digitally native companies actually talk to their real consumers, CPG companies traditionally spoke to potential consumers through market research. And they're trying to build that gap by actually speaking to their real consumers more and building that bridge. I mean, traditional market research is still important and will still be a key part to validate some of those strategies, but having that direct link and building that community.
And then doing something with it and activating what you learn, right? And that's one of the cool things that I see, even with direct to consumer. We talked last week with a couple of our colleagues around kind of direct to consumer. And I think that's one of the beautiful aspects of that. Forget about the new channel of distribution for you, is that ability to have that one-on-one conversation with your consumer in ways in which you're eliminating the middleman. So you're able to have that one-on-one dialogue with your consumer.
Yeah. And it also, it increases trust, right? So if I'm a consumer and I feel as though you're listening to me and you actually care about what I'm looking for, I'll be more inclined to purchase your products, because I know this is exactly what I'm looking for. And you also get that bit of personalization there. So I think that's another thing that customers are really looking for, is the ability to gain trust with a brand, whether that's them listening to what they're looking for, or if it's them being transparent about what their values are and also aligning with what the customer's values are. So I think that's another bit of another way to increase the sense of community with your customers.
Yeah, one of the one of the things that I've always felt about, and it's been exacerbated in the past 10 or 15 years, is that companies, like, consumers own these brands. Consumers, ultimately, they're going to advocate for these brands, they're going to own these brands, and they're going to drive the success of these brands. And the more that companies are able to involve consumers in the process and to make them feel as if they are not just a customer of the product, but really a part of that product as it relates to how they're innovating and how they're advocating, I think is really going to be successful for these companies. So I appreciate the discussion very much. It's a ton of fun catching up. I think, like I said at the beginning, I think that consumer centricity is fundamental. I love the fact that smaller businesses have really kind of challenged the status quo, and that we've got companies large and small that are really trying to embed the consumer in what we all do. So fun conversation. I look forward to more, and appreciate you both being a part of it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk soon. All right, see you guys. Thank you, Adoya. Thank you, Musa. And most importantly, thank you all for listening. I really enjoyed the discussion, and did feel it was somewhat apropos that the conversation was on the heels of the Super Bowl, because I do see just such a compelling story around how Super Bowl advertising has shifted and what that says about how companies are thinking about engaging with consumers and what they want to market to consumers. Again, I think we're stating the obvious here, but companies really need to think about how do we more effectively understand the consumer, and how do we utilize new marketing tools, analytical capabilities to really provide that integrated customer experience and be able to provide that personalized messaging. It needs to be authentic. You know, that is very clear. I think Musa used the word authenticity a couple of times. We need to make sure that we're being transparent and we're finding messaging that speaks directly to consumers' needs. Adoya talked about test and learns mentality. You need to challenge your marketing organization to have that mindset when it comes to investing in new technology and building out your marketing strategy. So those are some of the key things. Really, again, appreciate you all participating, and look forward to seeing you all next week. We're going to talk about promotion optimization, and look forward to chatting with you then.